All right, guys, it is 2:30. It is a Tuesday. That means it's time for Connor Boyack. Let's bring him in. Hey, Connor, are you with us?
I am, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing good. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, kind of on point, you wanted to talk about fear-based investing. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a lot of global turmoil, right? Whether you look at politics or you look at natural disasters or you look at the economy or what have you, there's plenty of metrics and all of them. There's lots of problems. There's a lot of worried people. There's a lot of struggling people. And the problem I see, the concern that I have with the decisions that are made in the wake of such struggles is that people are often, myself included, too often making decisions based out of fear, that we're reacting to questions of what we should do next in terms of what's going on now based not on some strategic or logical or hopeful or wise decision, but based out of the fear of what might happen if we don't do things a certain way. And I want to start off talking about investing because I think it kind of drives the point home, but there's so many other applications to this that we'll get into throughout the segment. But investing specifically comes to mind. There have been all sorts of articles in the past few weeks. I read one just yesterday from the Financial Times, for example, that talked about how people are flocking to gold. And, you know, this is nothing new. It's been happening for well over a decade. About a decade ago, gold was $400 an ounce. Now it's well over $1,600 an ounce. But there's an article in the Financial Times just yesterday. The title says, "Sales of American Eagle Gold Coins Soar." And these, for people who don't do any investing, aren't familiar with it, these are just one-ounce gold coins. It's a very typical medium of exchange for these type of investments, for people to buy a single gold coin, potentially for use, you know, down the road or as a method of saving. And so this article talks about how at the United States Mint, that mints these American Eagles, this type of one-ounce coin, one of the most popular gold coins in the world, sales leapt 131% in November. And so this is the highest level in more than 2 years. It's staggering levels even when you compare it to 5, 10 years ago, let alone kids ago. The Royal Canadian Mint as well has shown overwhelming demand for their products, the coins that they're minting. So the article goes on to explain some of what's involved with this. And one of a few of the quotes really pop out and suggest exactly what I'm talking about. There was one guy who, as the president of a bullion company, and he says, "You've got a lot of people who are very worried about the economy. With the election, they saw that nothing was going to change." You know, he goes on to say that these people don't believe in Uncle Sam anymore. And so there's a lot of fear in this. People are making their decision based on, you know, the politics of it. There's a guy who runs a jewelry dealership in Chicago. And he says, you know, "Obama did me a favor in some ways. Now people are buying gold and jewels, not because they like them, but because of fear. They're trying to protect their wealth."
Yeah, and the same with gun sales and ammo. Like, Obama's like, these people should love Obama.
Right, and that's exactly the point that I want to drive home. People are flocking to these commodities, to these investments as a way to hedge against what may happen down the road, which in and of itself is not problematic, right? Like this guy at the jewelry dealership said that these people are trying to protect their wealth. That's a very wise move to do. The problem is when people just invest in things because they think it might be or is a popular hedge against inflation or other problems, but their decisions are largely based out of fear. And in fact, gold is widely known. There's a guy, I read an article in the Financial Advisor recently, and he says this about gold. He says, "Gold is a mirror. Its price gauges global economic fear of uncertainty, fear of losses, and fear of poverty. As long as this fear remains in the world, the new gold standard will continue to reflect the fear standard. It's the index of fear." And, you know, this is really unavoidable. I mean, this isn't based on whether you believe the recovery is real or not. This is just based on how the gold market works, basic supply and demand. People see in gold a protection of their wealth, and rightly so. Gold has many characteristics that make it a good investment, silver as well, and other commodities too. But what you see, I think, is people who fear what Obama's going to do, what the global economy is going to do, and so the decisions are largely based out of fear, when in my view, there are things that should be invested in before gold. And this kind of segues into some of the other things that people do for fear-based investing, one of which is food storage. I know people who have, you know, gotten worried about global economic conditions and the like, and they go out and they buy like 30 buckets of wheat. right, or beans, or what are these staples that store for a long time, especially in the Mormon community where it's a very prevalent thing to do, not nearly as prevalent as it should be in my view. But you get people who don't investigate it all. They don't learn about how the best way, the best return on investment, right, to find out the best way that they can maximize their dollars and really create a good long-term preparedness solution. I met a guy once a couple years ago who lived in my neighborhood. He bought 2 years worth of food storage, a very admirable thing in my view. But when I asked him how much water storage he had, he said none.
Right.
And so much, I mean, you're going to die of thirst much, you know, sooner than you die of hunger, let alone the fact that most of the food that he had stored requires water to even cook. And so it's people who, you know, it's the same thing with gold. People don't realize, well, okay, let's say the economy collapsed, the dollar goes to the crapper, and we're now just bartering and using things that have inherent value, such as gold, silver, and other commodities as well. How are you going to trade something, right? If you need a can of wheat or a roll of toilet paper and you've got a gold coin, how yep. much good is that going to do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, good luck wiping with gold or right. digesting that gold and getting nutrients.
And so the underlying concerns that these people have are very valid. I share them myself. We should hedge against the future and be prepared for what's going to come. But so much of people's actions, whether it's investing monetarily, whether it's preparing in terms of food storage and the like, it needs to be done smartly. Otherwise, you're simply wasting money.
Oh, you're just being manipulated by another person that doesn't happen to be in politics using fear. That's it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, I want to get into more of that after this segment because that's exactly right. Fear becomes a tool that can be used against people who should be hedging against that as well and recognizing that for what it is and being more smart about their investing. Look, I think the global economy is going to keep going to crap. You talk about it all the time.
Yep.
We have lots of problems ahead. We need to prepare for the future.
Yeah, I mean, it really is inevitable. I mean, it's so funny they talk about a fiscal cliff. But this is
right.
more like a fiscal neutron bomb. That I mean, this cliff is just like a little speed bump compared to what's coming.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I think people are smart to start wising up. Whether it's more kind of an anti-Obama thing initially, but then that leads them into a more studious and balanced preparedness against the future.
Yeah,
it's coming. It needs to happen. We need to prepare. We just need to be smart about it. Is the thing. Too many people are letting fear drive their decisions. That's where the problem comes in, and we got more examples to share after the break. This permeates so much of what people do.
Yeah, what I like about what you're bringing up, this is why I am like one of the very few people who are very friendly to Austrian economics, who are hardcore through and through libertarian, that is saying inflation's not coming. And, this is the thing that bothers me. It's certainly a risk. It's a very low risk. But people get freaked out, and again, it's by all these people doing these mailers out and sending them, and guys like Glenn Beck and Peter Schiff saying, oh, my God. And meanwhile, they have investments where they'll benefit from that fear, and nobody's looking at it dispassionately when you're dead on spot right. Good luck with gold in terms of, keeping
its
your family alive. You need
right.
guns, ammo, food, water, the staples first before you bump up on Maslow's hierarchy of needs,
And that's exactly right. With preparedness generally, right? I mean, you prepare for an earthquake. I live on a fault line, right? That's that's the foremost concern.
Yeah.
But I need to be balanced. I mean, my house might light on fire, right? My child might have a seizure. I just have no clue what I'm preparing against. It needs to be a well-rounded, balanced preparedness plan because I don't know what the future holds. And whether it's inflation, whether it's deflation, whether it's the currency crisis, whether it's the debt crisis, what have you, there's so many options that are on the table in terms of bad things that can happen. Just pouring money into gold, pouring money into wheat, these are, not inherently problematic things, but we can leverage our dollars and our resources so much better by simply being smarter about our investments, smarter about our decisions, and we can make much better decisions as a result.
All right, cool. Well, let's talk more in depth about this on the other side of these commercials. Come on back, guys. Mental Self-Defense, Mental the Boyack Review right here. K-Talk for us. All right, guys, welcome back. Mental Self Defense Radio, the Jake Shannon Radio Program. We're right in the middle of Connor Boyack's segment, the Boyack Review. Let's go to Connor. So, Connor, we're talking about fear, largely, and how it can be used as a motivator against your best interest. Sometimes it's healthy to have fear, but sometimes that can be used against you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fear is just a raw emotion. It drives us to make a decision, to commit an action. The question is, which action is it, right? We can be fearful and as a result of that do something that's good and wise and good both in the short and long term. But fear drives people to do many stupid things. We talked before the break about how people are just investing in gold when perhaps their investments, the resources, could be much better allocated and they could get a better return on investment by investing more wisely, both for the short and the long term. I talked briefly about food storage. I have a lot of involvement in kind of the preparedness community here in Utah and people getting food storage. Being a member of the church, I've had the opportunity to serve specifically to help people and my entire community become more prepared. And you see a lot of this as well, especially in the wake of the election, especially in the rise of food prices. People are wising up. Not enough, you know, I think many more people need to wise up and prepare and store food against the future. But the people who do, many of them are very studious and they do their research and they buy something that's good and well-rounded. But many people just want to go out and they want the quick fix too, right? They have the fear and they want to quickly get rid of that fear and alleviate their conscience to make them think that they're prepared, and so they go and just buy food in bulk, and they don't know how to cook it. They've never tasted it or eaten it at all. They've never incorporated it into their daily diet, so it's quite unlikely that if emergency strikes that they're going to want to live off of that for the next 6 months or what have you. A lot of people waste a lot of money, and then again, people buy good things, but then they don't use it. They don't rotate through it with food storage, a very important concept. I know many people who, you know, older folks who 20 years down the road, they open a can of carrots or a thing of beans. They've never rotated, never used it. And, you know, sometimes if they had high humidity or they lived in, like, maybe Arizona or other places where it's hotter, then it spoils and they've effectively wasted their money and they are not, in fact, prepared when they had that false sense of security thinking that they were, in fact, prepared. So that's another one. You mentioned one before the break that I want to talk a little bit about, and that's guns. Here in Utah, we've seen that quite a bit. Nationally, of course, as well, with Obama's election in 2008, the FBI reported that in the first week of November of 2008, the FBI received more than 374,000 requests for background checks on gun purchasers. That was a 49% increase over the same period the previous year. So this huge surge in the wake of Obama, this Democrat, people thought he was going to clamp down on gun control, and people flocked buy guns. And I remember here in Utah, every few months they have this big gun show up at the Sandy Convention Center there. And I remember going, I had been a few times before, and moderate attendance, you know, it was well attended, plenty of people. And I remember having to stand in a super long line, the first one after the election. I can't remember, I believe it was something like a few weeks after. But it was an insanely long line, and the ammo purchasers, the vendors who were there to sell ammo, ammunition in bulk, they were, stuff was flying off the shelves, and it was a madhouse. People were climbing over one another, trying to get a certain caliber of ammunition before it ran out. And this was fear, right? I mean, and it's good to stock up on ammunition. It's good to be prepared. This is an action that is not inherently problematic at all. But when you see people respond in mass to an event such as the election, you see the fear that drives it, and many times I think with people, you know, even though it's good to buy ammo, did they have some of the other staples, some of the important resources that might be more beneficial, right? Do they have food storage to help their family survive rather than just stocking up on ammo to keep bad guys away while they starve? I know many people, I think, who have a strong imbalance that they have a healthy obsession with guns, but they don't have any other resources that might actually preserve their lives as well. But this is something, it's a trend that's continued, in fact. When Obama was reelected, the FBI released data showing that in the months leading up to the election, they had an 18% spike in background checks, and that was just over the course of a couple months. So this is a trend that's continued. You know, stores are altogether running out of guns and ammo. I mentioned the gun shows and the ammunition flying off the shelves there. You look at KSL Classifieds, for example, here in Utah. Utah is you're allowed to buy and sell guns private party. You don't have to do that. So there's a very healthy, vibrant, free, dare I say, free market for guns here in Utah. And so you see a lot of postings on there and a lot of activity from people who are looking to stock up in the fear, again, the fear that there's going to be a crackdown, there's going to be more regulation, there's going to be assault weapon bans and things like that. So definitely we talk about food storage, definitely applies to guns. You mentioned a fiscal cliff earlier, right? There's a lot of chatter about that right now. We call it a fiscal speed bump. But what is this? This is a fear. This is people largely responding to a fear of unemployment, of tightening budgets. Here in Utah, Governor Herbert, for example, went to meet with President Obama along with several other governors to express their concern and talk about what they wanted to see done. And you read the articles coming out of what the statements Governor Herbert was making, and it was largely fear. It was fear that, you know, there would be increased taxes and that we'd have to tighten our belts and we'd have to make cuts.
I think that's almost that term fear, it was almost the entire premise of the Romney campaign. So much of it was that he's not Obama.
Yeah.
And that's a reasonable fear. Obama's awful, you know, but I mean, I think that we get so gripped by fear that, you know, we lose focus. It's like if you're at the top of a mountain and you're going to say you're a new snowboarder or skiboarder or skier and you're at the top of a mountain and you somehow find yourself in at a black diamond and it's beyond your capacity. If all you focus on is crashing or fear, then that's probably what's going to happen.
Sure.
But if you just focus on getting to the next tree, you'll make it there, and then you focus on a new tree, and you just work your way down.
I like how you said that. That brings up a point I wanted to introduce as well, and that is that when fear is a prevalent part of the decision-making process, when it's an emotion that we so strongly feel and it's affecting our cognitive ability to decide how we're going to act or what we're going to do, it distorts things, right? You look, for example, going back really quickly to this fiscal cliff, this talk about tightening budgets and raising taxes. That's the wrong metric, right? Fear is distorting what should be the underlying discussion, and that is, yes, we need to make steep cuts. Yes, we perhaps need to raise taxes, and that's going to cause people to wise up and realize that we shouldn't tax by inflation. We actually have to pay for the things that government's going to do. We largely end up with bad decisions when fear is such an influencing factor in the process. And whether it's the guy going down skiing down a hill, or it's, you know, politicians making the decision about how to react to the so-called fiscal cliff, if fear is severely distorting the equation, we're not going to end up with a good result. There's a great example, and I think I sent you the URL to get this queued up. This is a two-minute clip that I found years ago that someone had compiled, and it's a great example, not only to discuss something, you know, to discuss how propaganda is effective, but in the context of this conversation, to discuss how fear is used by those in control. And you mentioned this earlier in our conversation segment about how people can use fear as a tool to get people to do things they might not otherwise want to do. And so whether it's ourselves having fear and making bad decisions or people using fear as a tool to make us feel that emotion and more willingly go along with their desired goals and methods, the end result is the same. And so this clip is 2 minutes long. It's from the 2004 Republican National Convention. So this is the first big political convention after 9/11 happened. You've got the Republican Party, which has made an efficient process out of using fear in the wake of 9/11 to encourage its aggrandizement of the military-industrial complex, its crackdown on civil liberties, and the expansion of the police state. And so let's go ahead and play. This is a two-minute clip showing how fear can be used as a tool by politicians to accomplish their ends.
All right, here we go. This is from the 2004 GOP Republican National Convention.
In the heart of this great city, we saw tragedy arrive on a quiet morning, September the 11th. September the 11th, September the 11th.
September 11th. September 11th. September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th.
September 11th, 2001.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Saddam Saddam
Saddam
Saddam Saddam
Saddam Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam
Saddam Hussein.
War and danger.
Continuing danger.
Hour of danger.
Very, very dangerous world.
A grave new threat.
Horrific acts of atrocities.
Murderous regimes
dedicating to killing us.
Tyranny and terror.
Slaughtered thousands.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons programs.
The deadliest of weapons.
Terrible weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
poison gas,
torture chambers,
mass graves,
deadly technologies,
radical ideology of hate,
terror, threats,
terror,
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 war on terrorism,
war against terrorism,
global war on terror,
global terrorism,
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 terrorism.
The evil terrorists.
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 Well, thank you for turning that otherwise awful event into something. Sharing how somebody turned that into something funny, because it is ridiculous when you point it out like that.
It's absolutely ridiculous. For those who couldn't catch on, just to be completely, you know, frank about it, that was an excerpt of all the fear-related statements and words and terms used throughout the convention, right? So they spliced out all the different segments where people were using a fear-related term or phrase to induce fear, to help elevate the threat and make sure people knew that there were these alleged boogeymen across the world that justified the increased spending, the increased crackdowns, the increased police state here at home and abroad. And so it's a very compelling way to show how ludicrous that is, right? And
well,
how it
and
works.
Here's the thing, right? They're selling fear, but guess what? Nobody's buying anymore.
Right.
Obama's been reelected twice. But the weird thing is he's doing the same things, just not using the sales pitch.
Well, and in terms of not buying it anymore, you know, that can be sarcastically applied to the fact that people don't care, and even without using fear, people are still buying the same program. But it also raises the point of what is the correct antidote, right? The correct antidote, in my view, is information. In terms of fear-based investing in gold and food storage and guns, if you do your research, then sure, you might still end up doing those same actions. You still might end up allocating your resources the same way. But when you do it on an informed basis, you've weighed the pros and cons, you've considered alternatives, and you made a very wise investment and move to better hedge your bets against the future. When you do it largely based on an emotion such as fear, you haven't reviewed that information. People didn't review the actual facts surrounding Saddam Hussein and the war in Iraq and 9/11 and things. And so they went along and bought onto a set of programs and policies that had nothing to do with reality, that were entirely justified based on fear, and were an, you know, offensive encroachment upon people's constitutional liberties. And so that's why, you know, we talk about how fear can be, like you said, fear can be okay. People can still make good actions in the wake of fear.
I mean,
fear,
like, I'm afraid of black widows, and I think that's okay.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
A poisonous spider, that scares me.
Right.
But boogeymen, no. I don't think they exist.
Well, and even though you're scared of black widows, you're not going to spray your entire house down with, you know, pesticides.
Right, right.
Right? You can have a very focused, balanced, strategic, you know, reaction to that alleged threat. But unfortunately, we see when it comes to policy, this is used over and over again. We talked about the fiscal cliff. We saw there a highlight of the reel in 2004 when all the wiretapping and everything else was going on, and they were increasing that, and they wanted to justify it and convince the American people to go along. But we see it here in Utah as well. We see it all across a variety of policies. Just as a simple, absurd example, there's a new legislative policy proposed to require motorcycle riders to wear helmets. Here in Utah, there's a bill being proposed, and we talked about this over at the Libertas Institute website, and this bill is predicated on fear. It is the fear of rising costs for those who don't have helmets, who may crash, who may not be able to manage their own health care, pay for the services they need. We need to be responsible for ourselves and not respond to fear. Then these policies will go away.
Well, I think you're right. The answer is information. It's education. It's not more laws, because clearly all that does is raise money for the state. It doesn't really help anything. Connor, great segment. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right, have a good one. Guys, come on back tomorrow.